Morning, guys. Sure, hallelujah. I just want to say, man, we've come to the end of 2019. It's just a few days left, but still we've come to the end and we've endured to the end. I want to say that to all of us. I know that in the church there's been some stuff that has happened throughout the year. Some trials and some tribulations. There's been some families that have lost loved ones, but they've endured. Jesus has been with us and he's taken us to the end. But yeah, so this morning we want to really celebrate the Lord Jesus Christ. We want to celebrate what he has done for us, how he has delivered us. We want to celebrate the fact that he is a deliverer and he is a savior and that he has set us free. We want to celebrate that he went on a cross for us. He died for us and he took the price. He paid the price that we should have paid, but that we couldn't pay. With his blood, he purchased us for God to come into relationship with God. But we also want to celebrate the fact that he was on this earth and he walked with his disciples for 3 years and he taught them many things and we learned from those things. We want to celebrate that too. So not only his death but in his life, but this morning also we want to celebrate the birth of the Lord Jesus. It says in the Bible that to us, as Mervis was mentioning earlier on, and he mentioned a few of the verses that I want to talk about, and I didn't tell him, but he happened to copy me. Somehow. But as we celebrate his birth this morning, I want us to have an attitude of the birth of Jesus and the fact that he's a savior for us. He's not just for us. But man, there's a broken world out there that need to hear the good news. They need to hear that a savior was born. Before we carry on, I want to read out of Luke chapter 2 from verse 1 to 20, but not right now. It's about the story of when Jesus was born, but to appreciate a little bit more the power of that moment around about the time of Jesus being born. Why was it even necessary for a savior? A lot of people, they feel they don't need a savior. They don't need someone to redeem them or to help them or to save them because life for them is okay. But I want us to see a little bit what God's people, the Israelites, what they were going through at the time around Jesus' birth and why it was such a beautiful moment for them when they heard the good news that a Savior is born, that a Redeemer has come to save them and to set them free. And at the time and around Jesus' birth before and up to the time he was born, Israel, God's people, they were oppressed. The Roman Empire had expanded and they had taken over that region, and now all of a sudden these people, God's people, they were paying taxes to a foreign government. They were ordered by a foreign government. It would be as if another country had come into South Africa and we had to start paying taxes to them and start doing what they told us to do, and so they were under oppression. And so they were in need of a savior and in need of a deliverer. And it's not something that they weren't used to. It is something that had been happening for thousands of years. From the time that they were in Egypt for 400 years, they cried out to God. It says that when God came to Moses, he said to him, "I've heard the cry of my people. I've seen their oppression, and I've come down to save them." And so they were used to this oppression. And all through the time of the judges, after the time of being in the desert for 40 years, Moses taking the people through the desert and into the promised land. Once they were in the promised land, again, they came under a lot of oppression. And God would begin to raise up judges and deliverers and to people to save his people. He would put his spirit on different individuals. From the very first judge, Othniel, he would put his spirit on him and he would bring a great deliverance to the people of Israel. He would save them from the hand of the enemy. And throughout all the judges, 10, 12 judges, God would put his spirit on individuals and those people, they would bring about a great deliverance for the people and he would set them free. And many times they were in this place of oppression because of their sin. They were in this place of being taken captive or sent to Babylon, sent away, exiled to another land because of their sin. But God loved them so much that every time that they cried out to him, he would help them, he would hear from heaven, and he would send someone to come and deliver them. So this is the scene at the time of Jesus' birth, where over thousands of years, the Jews, they'd experienced oppression many, many times. It was another time now. And once again, they were looking for a deliverer, and they were looking for a king. They were looking forward to a king who would come and save them and bring them out into an open, spacious place, bring them out into a good place where they could have their own country, their own king, and live the way they wanted to live. Bronwyn, can you put up Luke chapter 2? I want to read from verse 1. So this is up until verse 20. So it's around about this time. It says, in those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be registered. This was the first registration when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be registered, each to his own town. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the town of Nazareth to Judea, to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be registered with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to give birth. And she gave birth to a firstborn son, and wrapped him in swaddling cloths, and laid him in a manger, because there was no place for them in the inn. And in the same region, there were shepherds out in the field, keeping watch over their flock by night. And an angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were filled with fear. And the angel said to them, "Fear not, for behold, I bring you good news of a great joy that will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. And this will be a sign for you. You will find a baby wrapped in swaddling cloths and lying in a manger." And suddenly there was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace among those with whom he is pleased." When the angels went away from them into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let us go over to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us." We're almost there. And they went with haste and found Mary and Joseph and the baby lying in a manger. And when they saw it, they made known the saying that had been told them concerning this child. And all who heard it wondered at what the shepherds told them. But Mary treasured up all these things, pondering them in her heart. And the shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all they had heard and seen, as it had been told them. So the shepherds went into Bethlehem, and they told the news, what they had been told by the angels. And so they were telling Israel, in a sense, that salvation has come to the land, that there's a redeemer, that there is hope now. So all the time that they were under oppression, that was coming to an end. And so it was a big deal for them. And it was of much magnitude in their hearts. And it really touched them that they were going to have deliverance now, that there was going to be a Savior that was going to deliver them. Because they'd been looking for another Samson. They'd been looking for another David. And now one was born, a Savior who would set them free. And if you look at the story, I think as we read through this, we can see in our own lives, outside of Jesus, how we too, at one stage in our lives, were very oppressed. And we all have our own stories. And, you know, the Israelites had their stories too, how they were oppressed. And in my life too, at one stage, outside of Jesus, I was oppressed, man. And so I can relate to this story. And I can relate to, and I think we all can, in our own lives, in our relationship with Jesus, there was a shepherd. Somehow they came to us and told us about the Lord. Maybe a shepherd invited you to church today, a type of a shepherd, or told you about Jesus, or preached the gospel to you, and you heard that there is help for you. You heard that there's a Savior, that you heard that there's someone that can rescue you. And in my life, as I just take a sip of water, hallelujah. But in my life, you know, my oppression started when I was a little boy and I was abused a lot. Physically. Hallelujah. Amen. And I ended up doing drugs. I started doing drugs when I was 10 years old, and I was kicked out of 8 schools and 3 boarding schools, and I was just a wreck. And ended up going to prison and stealing and robbing. I went to prison a couple of times, and the second time I went in for 4.5 years out of a 9.5 year sentence for robbery and housebreaking and stealing, and I came out and went back onto drugs, and my life was just a mess, man. I was oppressed for many, many years. And then in 2006, a type of a shepherd, a friend said to me, he said, Declan, there's a place. And he mentioned this Christian rehab that was run by some Hispanic guys from America, and they were full of tattoos. He said to me, they're some Chicanos. But he says, drug addicts are going there, and there's something is going on there because people are being set free. The drug addicts that were drug addicts, they're drug addicts no more. Jesus is there, he's doing something great. And for me, that was the news, I think, that the Israelites were receiving that day, that there is help, that there's a Savior, that there's someone to deliver them. And for me, it was such a, when I heard this news, I was like excited, man. When they told me about Jesus, and I didn't know Jesus, but somehow something inside me started to bubble up, and I got this excitement, and I went to this place, and I stayed there for 1 year. And Jesus set me free, and he changed my life. And he took my old life away, and he gave me a new life. He took me from oppression and depression and suppression, and he gave me a new life. Amen. And I want to say that there are many people out there, even as the Israelites were oppressed, and even in today's times, there are many people out there today that are oppressed. There are many married couples whose marriages are breaking up. There are children that are being hurt, children that are being molested, women that are being raped, people that are being hurt, broken, tormented in relationships, people that are on drugs, people that are selling their bodies for money. There's a lot of oppression in the world today, and I want to say this morning that God is looking for some shepherds amongst us. He's looking for some shepherds who are willing, who are prepared to go to a broken people in the world and to tell them Jesus is the answer, my friend. Jesus has a plan for your life. Jesus was born over 2,000 years ago to be a Savior, not only for the Jewish people, but for the entire world. Whoever would come to him, it says in the Bible, whoever would come to him would receive eternal life. And so I really want to encourage us this morning and for the rest of this December and even over Christmas time as you go to your families to be a type of a shepherd, that you would bring the good news, that you would share with people the message of salvation. God is looking for shepherds amongst us. You know, even as you, like I said, as you go to your families or as you, you know, going back to work in 2020, be mindful of the fact that God is looking for shepherds to deliver the message of good news, to say that a Savior is born. A Savior was born over 2,000 years ago, and he's got a plan, a good plan for their lives. Now, I want to say that God's people at the time, they wanted to be freed from a physical oppression because they were physically oppressed in the land. But Jesus didn't come to set them free physically. They could have been in bondage, a physical bondage, but they could have been free inside. I remember when I was in prison doing my four and a half years, somebody gave me a Bible to read, and I was reading it for a few weeks, and all of a sudden, the drugs that I was smoking, I threw away, I gave them away. And so I had this freedom, just for a little while, because I backslid after that, but I had this freedom while I was in prison. Even though I was in chains, there was a freedom that I had. And so Jesus didn't come to set the people free from a physical oppression. They were looking for a Samson or a King David or a Gideon, a mighty warrior king to come and set them free. But God had a plan for them, and his plan was to set them free spiritually because there was a burden on them. Death was hanging over them. The wages of sin, it says in the Bible in Romans chapter 6 verse 23, the wages of sin is death. But the gift of God in Christ Jesus, but the free gift, I must state that, the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. In John chapter 1 verse 11 and 12, it says that He came to his own people. Jesus came to his own people. He came to them to set them free, but they rejected him. Not all of them. Some would receive him, but many rejected him and said, we don't. And one of the reasons why they rejected him is because he told them about their sin. He told them about their sinful ways. They wanted a king to deliver them, to give them a good life, but he wanted to give them an eternal life. But it's because of their sin that leads to death, that leads to an eternal separation from God, that God sent his son, that he could set them free from that type of oppression. And so this death was hanging over them. This sentence, this eternal separation from God was their portion if they were not to turn to the Savior who came to save them. It says in John 1 verse 11 that, can we go there? John verse 11. He came to his own and his own people did not receive him. But to all who did receive him, who believed in his name, he gave the right to become children of God. So there was those who did receive him. I want to say I did receive the Lord Jesus a few years ago. And he gave me the right to become a child of God. Not because of anything I did, but because he looked at my miserable life and he saved me. I remember being in this drug house in a bed and saying, God, if you're real, please help me. And he heard my cry, like he heard the Israelites cry, and he saved me. I couldn't earn that because I was a drug addict, a junkie. But I cried out to him and he saved me. And when Jesus came into my life, he didn't just save me from the drugs, from a physical oppression, but he saved me into eternal life. He saved me from this death sentence, from the curse of death that was hanging over my life, that if I had to die in my sin, I would have been separated from God forever. But he loves us so much. It was a high pitch. But he loves us so much that he would send his son to die on the cross for our sins. And the prophets, as Mervis was saying earlier on, the prophets 700 to 800 years before Christ was born, they looked into the future as God's Spirit was on them. The prophets would be people that God's Spirit would be on them, and he would show them things about the nation of Israel. And they would talk to the nation of Israel, tell them to repent. And he would show them things about the future. And the prophet Isaiah in chapter 9 verse 2, he's also looking into the future. And this Isaiah at the time was also, Israel was under a time of oppression, a physical oppression. But Isaiah was looking into the future and he was seeing a spiritual oppression. He was seeing how people outside of Jesus would be eternally separated from a pure living God. And he rejoiced as he saw people receiving Jesus into their lives. It says that all who received the Lord, all who received Jesus, God gave the right to become children of God. And so he looked at this and he rejoiced at this fact, seeing salvation come. And he says, the people who walked in darkness have seen a great light. Those who dwelt in a land of deep darkness, on them has shined light. And then in verse 6, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. And so he's looking at this and he's seeing, and many other prophets too, they're looking into the future and they're seeing that salvation is coming to the land of Israel and that the people are going to be set free and they are rejoicing. In 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 55, the Apostle Paul, after speaking of salvation and people receiving the Lord Jesus and believing in his name and the curse of death not being apportioned to them anymore, eternal separation from God not being their portion anymore, he says, O death, where is your victory? O death, where is your sting? In other words, before I came to Jesus, that was hanging over me. Death, eternal separation from God, that was my portion. But now, as I've received the Lord Jesus, and as we receive the Lord, we can boast in the Lord and say, oh death, where is your sting? You've got no power over me anymore. And so that's a message that, thank you, that you want to share this morning, that at one stage, I know for many of us, there wasn't any hope, and things seemed hopeless, and we were oppressed. But when we received Jesus Christ into our lives and we believed in his name, he set us free. Spiritually, he set us free. And he gave us an eternal life. It says in the Bible, whoever receives the Lord, in John 3, whoever receives the Son of God has eternal life. But whoever does not receive the Son of God already stands condemned. But God puts out an offer to all those who would receive him, and all those who would believe in his name. He wants to give them eternal life. He wants to bring them into relationship with him, and so that we can be like this family, the family of God and in his kingdom this morning. And I want to say to us, let's take this message as we end off the year and as we start the new year. Let's take this message of Jesus, of his salvation, and tell a broken people, tell a hurting people, people that you come across, that as they receive Jesus, as they believe in his name, he's going to save them. He's a redeemer and a deliverer. Can we all stand this morning?